You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The top of Northland remains at alert level 3 after fears that COVID-19 is spreading undetected in Northland. At the same time, an Otago University research into COVID-19 vaccination rates found that numbers are significantly lower in rural areas than urban areas. Dr. Carl Eggleton is the Associate Dean of Rural Health from the Department of General Practice and Primary Healthcare at the University of Auckland, and he is also a Northland GP with a Māori health provider. I spoke to him this morning and I began by asking how rural Northland is more vulnerable to the spread of COVID-19.
Well, I guess there's a whole variety of reasons. You can start by thinking about how the vaccination was first rolled out. So vaccination was typically rolled out in larger population centres. So when you're looking at quite rural places, there's quite a lot of distance to travel for people living in those places to get to the larger vaccination centres. So that was a barrier from the start. The second thing is that certainly initially on, until recently, you've been required to book in for vaccination. Walk-in clinics, obviously, over the last few months have become the standard, but earlier on, booking online was required, and people who are living in rural areas are often kind of suffering from lack of connectivity, so lack of cellular connection in many places. Many of my patients in the past have had to climb up the nearest hill to try and get cell phone coverage. Wi-Fi connection is often a problem as well, more of a problem in rural areas, so that's kind of placed another barrier in front of people. The third reason is that often, vaccination clinics are typically held at times and days which don't suit people who are working in certain jobs. So, if you're a rural agricultural worker and you're getting up to milk the cows and then have a milking session later on in the day, you're probably going to miss the vaccination times or find it difficult to get time off from work, especially if you're in a lower paid job where it's much harder to negotiate having some time off. So that's another reason why we have seen a lag in rural areas.
I guess one of the false beliefs that people were lured into is that because in rural areas it's so sparsely populated, the virus won't transmit that easily. Why is that not the case?
Well, it's relating to who you have relationships with. So your people have families, obviously, and you congregate in family groups and you have friends just like you do in urban settings. So not saying that rural people are not going to have as much connection. We know that the virus tends to spread in more indoor settings and gatherings rather than spread in outdoor places. We're not seeing it really spreading or being picked up in the retail sector much. It's mostly people who are gathering in their homes. Hmm. And that occurs in rural settings as well. So it's just as likely to spread.
You mentioned earlier that because of the health infrastructure that's not as great in rural areas compared to what we have here in Auckland, could also, when it comes to misinformation, could also be a prevalent reason why vaccination rates could be quite low in rural Northland.
I don't know whether infrastructure itself is going to kind of like cause vaccine kind of like hesitancy. I think that the main reason for vaccine hesitancy, well, there's a couple of things. Because there was a delay in rolling out the vaccine to kind of more vulnerable members of our community, there was time allowed for social media misinformation to spread. So that's kind of like one cause. The second cause of vaccine hesitancy probably is a lack of trust in the healthcare system. And so, a number of population groups have been disadvantaged by the healthcare system, perhaps relating to infrastructure, but often it's relating to kind of racism that exists within our healthcare system. And so that kind of leads to mistrust.
Well, the government recently released a couple million dollars into boosting Māori vaccination rates in Northland. Do you think that will help improve the numbers?
Yeah, I'm hoping it will improve the numbers. I guess one thing is that boost probably should have occurred very early on to allow Māori health providers and iwi to start developing their systems and get their own infrastructure in place early on. I mean, you might be aware that, you know, the vaccination vans, which are really popular, you know, some of those vaccination vans for some providers have been reliant on charity to try and help get those vaccination vans going. So, you know, there have been significant structural delays in trying to, you know, look at the issue around rurality and vaccination.
Okay, and going to my final question for now, if there are positive cases of COVID-19 in rural areas and they could be quite serious and might need hospitalizations, are the logistics difficult for them to get to a hospital?
Absolutely. So if you take, say, the Northland example where I work as a GP, we have one main base hospital, which has got our intensive care unit, which is Whangarei Hospital. And we've got 4 rural hospitals, but those rural hospitals don't have an ICU capacity. So if someone gets very sick way at the top near Cape Danga, they need to get extracted and come down to Whangarei, which is, you know, a 3-hour plus ambulance ride away or a helicopter ride away. And if you're looking at trying to transport people around who are very sick, you know, our ambulance services in rural areas are not as well resourced as what they should be or could be. Heavily reliant on volunteers, for example, who might not have the same degree of training perhaps as professional ambulance crews. Ambulance crews are often based in a larger population centre, so might take some time to get out to a kind of rural or remote kind of population, or they might be called away to another emergency. So some people would be waiting for hours. In the media recently, you might have read about a Northland whānau who called an ambulance and had to wait, you know, a number of hours to get some attention. And the reason for that was that ambulance got prioritised to another call out. It's not uncommon for us in rural settings to, you know, need to have someone transferred to hospital, say Whangarei based hospital, but being unable to arrange a transfer and having to try and manage that patient for hours is not an uncommon experience.
Blimey.
So, you know, these are the problems that you're faced with in rural areas, is, you know, this, you know, a lack of ability to transfer, a lack of kind of like ambulance services when you need it. And it's not the fault of the ambulance service, it's just the fault of a lack of resourcing that goes into ambulance services. And it's a whole other story, really.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.